And with that, it is 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, and a good morning to you. Thank you for joining us today for worship. If you are with us for a first time, a special word of welcome to you. And if you are a returning member, good morning and welcome to you. Let's quickly go across to our Facebook page and see who has checked in. Good morning to you, Sally, and to Lily, to Margaret and Bill, to Allison and June, to Iris, to Stuart, all the way from Blair Castle caravan site. Stuart and Julie, grand, thank you for joining us. I do hope that you enjoy the time there. Elizabeth, good morning to you, and Sandra. Good morning, Ileana. Good morning, Heather. It's great to be back at Sunday school. Yes, a little bit more about that in a while. Good morning to you, George and Nettie, to Caitlin and Liz, to Elaine Allen from Livingston. Good morning and welcome to you, Molly, all the way from Derbyshire, to Sheila, to Harry and Helen, to Margaret, to Kay joining us again. Good evening to you, Kay, all the way from New Zealand. Good morning to you, Elaine, Tennant and Suzanne. Good morning, Jim and Allison. And Sue. Sue mentions that from next week, the church in Broxburn will be open for worship. She will be there. I hope that you can still be part of this sort of in the meantime. But all the best for that. Good morning to you, Anne Mays. Good morning, Anne and Bob from Kinross, Sunny Kinross. From Douglas, good morning to you. Good morning, Chris. To Helen and Alec and Sandy. Good morning, John. Good morning, Iris and Jim. And good morning to you, Peter. I'm not sure whether everything is all right with us. According to Facebook, we have one person viewing. Moya, if you can maybe just check whether we are live after all. We will continue on the premise that we are live and we are with you. So hope that's the case. Friends, today marks the start of something a little bit new. We will be having a children's address because here up in the Northeast, we are starting our Sunday school, and with that starting, we would like to link in with them, so hopefully they will have the link over there and they will be able to follow along and watch us as we proceed with our children's address. But first, we are reminded why we are here and therefore our call to worship. Sing to the Lord a new song, says Psalm 96. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. That's why we are gathered. And whether you are near or far, whether you are in a caravan site or just at home, maybe in a hospital, you are most welcome as we share worship today. We will start with our children's song. It's from Mission Praise, and it's number 225. Mission Praise, number 225. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. Got everybody here in his hands. He's got nobody here in his hands. He's got everybody here in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got you and me, neighbor, in his hands. He's got you and me, neighbor, in his hands. He's got you and me, neighbor, in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. The whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. Let me just check and see whether there is any joy on our Facebook page. I've seen a number of comments. Thank you, Peter. Peter is with us from Shipley. I do hope that we have more people with us and that you can follow along. I have a little bit of trouble with Facebook, nothing new, but we shall continue in the meantime. Right, this is our children's slot. And for our children's slot, I have one verse that I would like to read. It may sound a little bit complicated, and therefore we will unpack that just in a wee while. This is from the first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 12. 1:12, verse 12. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts from one form, one body, so it is with Christ's body. Well, that sounds very complicated. Let's make it more simple. I would like to use something that I'm sure everyone is familiar with. And this is something that I love to do. Don't get enough time to do it, though. And that is to color. Doing some coloring in coloring books. Now, things have changed over time. It used to be a children's pastime. Thank you, Moya. Used to be a children's pastime, but we know that times have changed, and today you will find any number of adult coloring books. Nonetheless, the story about coloring books is, however, less about the book and more about these. The pencils or crayons we use when we do the coloring. Now, this is a set that, according to what it says on the box, was made in England, and we have used this, and you can see that some of them have been sharpened more than others, and they are representative of a number of colors that we have. And truth be told, they are absolutely fantastic. And here is the thing about coloring books. You don't use these pencils one at a time. You need to take out the whole box of them. I've sometimes thought, well, what if I were to save a little bit? It's austerity seems to be a good thing. And I would take my black pencil and I would start and I think, I'm going to make a black and white. Oh, doesn't look as good as one that have proper colors in it. And the more colors, the better. Now, looking at this set, I have a problem. If I have a person that I need to color in, this set is not adequate because there's no flesh color. There's not even a pink. Ah, to the rescue, my other pencils. Now, these pencils, according to what it says on the pencil, were manufactured in Germany. So they came all the way from Germany, and they allow me, there is a pink, and there is a gold color, and a lovely red, deep wine color, red. I mean, this is a fantastic set. And the two of them together, absolutely spectacular. And that helps us to remember that it's a case of the more, the merrier. If you really want to get into the details, you need more than just 24 coloring pencils. Even this added to the 24 may not be enough for your project. And that is the point, thank you, Moya, the point that Paul wants to make to his friends, and he wants us to share in that message, that in the church, in and among the people of God, there is room for more and more and more. And we are not duplicates of each other, and therefore each one of us has a unique place, a unique color that we represent. And in the big picture that God is creating, we therefore find a place that's our place. This is a reminder that whether you are young or middle age, or older, you have a place in the people of God. Maybe you think, well, I've only been here for a little while. You have a place. God acquires new pencils, by way of speaking, all the time. Sharpens some of them, acquires more, and in his hand, we become, excuse me, this beautiful picture, multicolor, all the colors of the rainbow and more. And that is the people of God. Now, it's time for you at Sunday school to get back to your creativity activities and your storytelling and story listening and all the rest of that. I just wanted to share this with you. You have a very valuable place in the heart of God and in His people, His church. You have a very unique place that only you can fill. And this is true for you and mom and dad and grandma and grandpa and all the uncles and all the aunts and everyone else. Thank you for being at Sunday school today. Thank you for sharing in this good news message about the colors in God's kingdom. Good luck. Bye. We continue our worship as we sing our second hymn from CH4. It's number 259, Beauty for Brokenness. Once more to see whether we've got any joy on Facebook. Seemingly we don't. And I hope that you are with us, and I hope that you are sharing worship with us as we shall continue as though we are actually live. We haven't started in the customary way, and therefore it's opportune now just to congratulate all those who have celebrated a birthday and all those who celebrate one today. Or maybe look forward to one this coming week. On the list that we showed earlier, there was mention of Moira and of George and Felicity, Jim and Kenny. And maybe your name or someone you know who can have their name added to that list. We would like to say happy birthday. And similarly, if you celebrate another celebration, maybe an anniversary or the birth of a grandchild or a child, then we would like to share in your joy. And we wish you well, and may you have every blessing that God can bestow on you. But first of all, back to our birthday song at this point. Let's say happy birthday as we share our birthday song with you. Happy birthday to you. May God's love grow in you. May the Lord bless and keep you in all that you do. May His praise be your song as the year goes along. May His love and His mercy keep your heart from all wrong. Still not sure whether there is any life on the other side of the glass. I do hope so. And I would like to invite you now to join me as we pray together. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we gather in your presence, we do so remembering that you are the Creator God, that you are our Maker, and what amazing wonders you have done. When we look around us, it is the palette of colors that is just simply awesome and amazing. Even all the coloring pencils in the world cannot do justice to the way that you have brought color into our lives. You've made this a wonderful creation to live in. We look up into the night sky and we see stars and we see the moon, and during the daytime we can see the sun and we see the setting and the rising of the sun. We see the seas and the land and we see the trees and the plants, and whether it's a puppy dog or a cat, you've made it so wonderfully beautiful, and for that we are in awe and we praise your name. You are a Creator God that's full of grace, and this very moment speaks to the grace that you give, moments of grace that fill our lives, and it's enough to fill all eternity. May all living beings therefore gather their voices and sing your glory. As we gather today, we are also aware of the fact that we are not perfect. You made us perfect, but through our own doing, we tear down and we destroy. And sometimes we do something that we should not have done, or we don't do what we should have done. Sometimes we say a word or don't say a word. We think thoughts that can hardly be expressed in words. And what a good thing, for they are toxic. For that we apologize. Lord, we confess before you that we have still some distance to travel. And therefore we thank you for grace and for mercy allowing us to make good. The grace and mercy to say sorry. The grace and mercy to try again. To leave the past in the past. And to look forward and to reach out to the future. We honor you as our Heavenly Father. And to you all the praise. And we pray that as we have gathered to worship you, that you will now through your word and your spirit enthuse us and fill this worship space with your presence. This we pray in the name of our Lord, our Redeemer, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We have two readings today. The first is a selection of verses from Psalm 69. And then we will also read a passage from Mark's Gospel in chapter 7, the back end of chapter 7. But first of all, we read from the Psalms, Psalms 69. And you are welcome if you want to read along on the screen. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in the miry depths where there is no foothold. I've come into the deep waters, the floods engulf me. I'm worn out, calling for help, my throat is parched, my eyes fail, looking for my God. Those who hate me without reason outnumber the hairs of my head. Many are my enemies without cause, those who seek to destroy me. I'm forced to restore what I did not steal. You, God, know my folly. My guilt's not hidden from you. Lord, the Lord Almighty, may those who hope in you not be disgraced because of me. God of Israel, may those who seek you not be put to shame because of me. For I endure scorn for your sake, and shame covers my face. I'm a foreigner to my own family, a stranger to my own mother's children. For zeal for your house consumes me, and the insults of those who insult you fall on me. When I weep and fast, I must endure scorn. When I put on sackcloth, people make sport of me. Those who sit at the gate mock me, and I'm the song of the drunkards. But I pray to you, Lord, in the time of your favor, in your great love, O God, answer me with your sure salvation. Rescue me from the mire. Do not let me sink. Deliver me from those who hate me, from the deep waters. Do not let the flood waters engulf me, or the depths swallow me up, or the pit close its mouth over me. Answer me, Lord, out of the goodness of your love. In your great mercy, turn to me. Do not hide your face from your servant. Answer me quickly, for I'm in trouble. Come near and rescue me. Deliver me because of my foes. And then from the Gospel according to Mark, we read in chapter 7, verses 21 or 24 to 31. Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered the house and did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an impure spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, born in Syria and Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. "First let the children eat all they want," he told her, "for it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Lord," she replied, "even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." And then he told her, "For such a reply you may go. The demon has left your daughter." She went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of Decapolis, that means 10 cities. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged Jesus to place his hands on him. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spat and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, "Ephphatha," which means "be opened." At this the man's ears were opened, his tongue were loosed, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. "He's done everything well," they said. "He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and reflection on his word. Before we sing our next hymn, on the Facebook page I posted a short question there, and maybe you saw it, maybe you've already responded to it. If not, may I leave it with you during this time of the singing of the hymn. Is it easier to learn something new as we grow older? Is it easier to learn and do something new as we grow older? Don't shout at the telly. Maybe you want to post a comment with your answer. In the meantime, we sing our next hymn from CH4, number 532. "Lord, you have come to the seashore." Desiring
seeking the lost, returning love, God, the love you gave me. O Lord, with your eyes hid upon me, gently smiling, you have spoken my name.
Joined us subsequent to the start. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to you. Thank you for joining us for this online worship. A reading from Mark's Gospel forms the context for our reflection today. And over the last week, I've been looking out of the window up here on the Murray Firth, and I've seen these squid boats plowing up and down, backwards and forwards along the Forth, as they made their way along the valleys where the squid can be found. And this has been going on from very early till very late at night. And I'm not sure, they might have been on 24 hours. I don't know. I wasn't up during the night. And as I thought about the squid, there was something else that came into my mind, and it relates to this reading. And it's the life of crustaceans, the lobsters and the shrimp and the crayfish. All those hard-shelled animals who have to shed a skin or a shell in order to grow. Because that provides us with a perfect understanding of what it means to believe. And I hope to get there very soon. But first, we can form this picture in our mind's eye of crustaceans, of crabs, or of lobsters, and how over time, in order to grow, they need to shed that shell, because the shell cannot expand. There's no flexibility in it. As a matter of fact, it's rock hard. So I suspect if it was possible for a lobster, for example, to exercise an option or a choice, there would be times when the lobster would sit down, maybe with a pencil and a piece of paper, and draw up one of these pros and cons lists. If I don't shed my shell, what are the pros? What are the cons? If I do shed my shell, what are the pros? What are the cons? But we know they don't do it. They don't do the lists. They simply do the shedding. That's the life of crustaceans. And for a moment of time, after they have shed that hard, protective shell, all the security, they are extremely vulnerable. You don't shed one skin just to have the second one ready there and then, as hard and as protective as the former. It takes a little bit of time. It needs to expand with you, and then it will harden. If it was possible for crustaceans to decide not to do it, they would have impenetrable shells, but they would be only yay big. In order to grow, in order to become adult and of size, over time they need to shed the security and the protection, become vulnerable, and then new security forms, which they have to shed at some point if they want to continue to grow. That, I would venture to say, is the life of faith. And we see an example in the two stories that we've read in Mark's Gospel. Let's dig a little bit deeper. Let's dive a little bit deeper into these stories. They have as a context the so-called Gentile areas of Israel. Tyre, Sidon, and the region of the 10 cities, the Decapolis. People that were not initially plan of Jesus' mission, but over time he went into that area. And it's into that area that he ventures with his disciples, and it's like I can hear their voices in my mind's eye saying, Lord, have you lost your sat-nav? What are we doing here? This is not pure. This is not Israel. This is not God's people. Why are we here? We can't go to the synagogue on Saturday because we have now touched this and that and another thing. And then we find this woman that's from a mixed race background that's called a Gentile. She's Greek. She's not part of God's people there and then. And she risks coming to Jesus with a request, not for herself, but on behalf of her daughter. A daughter who can't attend. A daughter struck down by demon possession, we read. And in the example of this woman, we see this shedding of the security of the skin. Being a woman 2,000 years ago meant that you had to be seen and not heard. Your security was in finding your place in the crowd, never to stand out and never to sort of speak out. But she decided to risk it all to approach Jesus. And in that conversation that is reminiscent of the banter that we may have with each other, we see the to and fro of the conversation, but right throughout, we pick up on the sense of insistence and persistence in the words of this woman. Jesus tried to just sort of push her gently aside, saying, allow me just to remind you in imaginary language that this is a message for Israel. And she said, Lord, if only some of the remnants can fall to those outward of Israel, then it would be so good. To which Jesus responded, you understand the love of God. It's not reserved only for certain people, but for all people. And although there might have been this priority in the way that it was made known, it's meant for you too. So we see that faith involves from the start taking a risk. The risk to let go of certain securities, certain perceptions, certain things that we hold on to. Now you can understand why I said, is it easy to let go and learn something new or do something new when we grow older? Are we prepared to follow this woman to shed maybe a layer of security in order to grow our faith? It's not only taking risk, it's doing so with insistence and persistence. When Jesus gently pushed her aside through the banter, she didn't back down and say, oh, sorry, Lord, sorry for troubling you. I'll just go on my merry way. No, she came back and she responded, if only I could have some of the crumbs that fall off the table. Insistent and persistent. And then came the real test right at the end when Jesus said, your response is fantastic. Go and you will find your daughter completely healed. See, in that moment, the woman had the opportunity to say, no, Lord, no, with all respect, I need a sign here and now. I want confirmation. I want you to give me the opportunity to see my daughter in a healthy state. What guarantee would be enough to satisfy your needs? The word of Jesus was enough to this woman. Go. But there might be more to the end of this story than we initially thought. And I would venture to think that it's locked up in the second story. The second story where we find a man in the region of the 10 cities, the Decapolis, who was tongue-tied. Literally, we read, he was tongue-tied and he couldn't hear. Maybe that was the reason for being tongue-tied. He had no feedback loop, hearing himself speak to rectify, and therefore what came from his mouth was at times absolutely not understandable. He had friends, once again, people who on behalf of him came to Jesus. Lord, if only you can lay a hand on our friend here. If only you can reach out and touch him, we know he will be well. All shall be well. And then we find this word that's not translated. We get the meaning of it, but it's once again a foreign word. And maybe a word as hard to say as to internalize. Ephatha. Ephatha. The word that Jesus spoke to this man, literally meaning open up. And Maybe that is part of the clue. We find in the healing of this man how his ears were opened up. He could all of a sudden hear. And along with the hearing comes understanding. He had the feedback loop returned and his tongue tied removed. And he could speak normally. And he could hear his own words and he could find ways to internalize and to think and to speak. And isn't that maybe part of the clue for the faith challenge as well? The opportunity to be opened up, to hear the voice of God, to understand his meaning and his intention to the extent that we can, or simply to rest in his peace. Faith is about taking risk. It's about insistence and persistence, but also active acceptance. Once I've opened myself up, once God has spoken that word Ephatha and I can hear and through his spirit I can understand and my tongue is untied, I can rest in his peace. It's not a passive laid back, what will be, it'll be all right on the night. Not at all. It's active, it's insistent and persistent. But then God grants me that peace, that internal calm to know when I need to let go and let God. That's not a passive let go and let God. It's an active one. Once God has spoken Ephatha through the Spirit within me, his Spirit, speaking to my spirit, I know when it's time to let go and let God. And when I come home, it's like the woman returning home, finding her daughter lying on the bed, and she was well. Where are you on this journey just now? Maybe it's something that's been knocking at the door. Maybe it's been knocking on your shell by way of speaking. Why won't you risk it? Give it a go. Try faith. But do it insistently and persistently. And pray that God will speak that Ephatha moment into your life to allow you to be opened up and to understand when it's time to accept and rest in his peace and his grace and his mercy. My prayer is that that will be true in your life, wherever you are in your journey of faith. May the Lord speak, open your ears, open your understanding. May he grant you the courage to be insistent, persistent, but above all, to be able to let go of those securities in order to grow. Amen. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this is the Ephatha moment. This is the moment where we experience how through your word you come and you open us up. You give us understanding. And you give us the opportunity to let go of these shells in order to grow. Life is about growth. And although the jury may still be out as to whether it's easy to do something new or to learn something new as we grow older or not, we know that with you, all things are possible. That's what we pray for. Lord, we look around us and we pray for the world and the people around us. The world is not based on our needs and wants, and therefore we pray for the people in our community and in the world. We think of those living in Afghanistan, those on the road away from Afghanistan. We pray for those involved in leadership or in efforts that are underway to help people. We think of the stream of refugees coming out of Afghanistan. We pray for them. We pray that if we can help in any way, shape or form, that you will give us the wisdom to do just that. Lord, we think of the people caught up in natural disasters, whether it's the earthquake in Haiti or tropical storm, or the rain, or Storm Ida in the northeast of America, whether it's an earthquake, whether it's the floods or the droughts across the face of the earth. Lord, we pray for the victims, for those who have nothing to eat, nowhere to go, those who've lost all their earthly possessions, who don't know what to do next. We bring them and we hold them up before you. We pray for those who have not experienced a season of growth or a season of harvest. We pray for those who are absolutely devastated, those living in turmoil, those who are hurt, those who don't know who or where help will come from. Lord, and then we pray for those who are ill, people who are ill in mind or body or spirit, those who are under treatment, those awaiting the opportunity to go to hospital for an operation, those that are convalescing after an operation, and then those who are involved with the medical procedures, those working in hospitals, those who are so tired after a year and a half of COVID and now have to play catch up on elective surgery or other hospital appointments. We pray that you will keep them strong. We pray that you will be their strength. We pray that if there is a way to support, that you will make us aware of that and that we will have the courage to do something. We pray for those with the decision-making power to make difference and to bring about a change. We pray that they will be humble and honest and do what can be done. Lord, and then we pray for ourselves. May we celebrate your love. May we too learn how to shed the old skin and grow a new skin in the faith. May we do so with insistence, persistence, but also acceptance. May we rest in your peace. May we discover more and more what it means to follow you every second of our lives. Shape us by the power of your Spirit to be more and more the people you created us to be. This we pray in the name of our Lord, our Savior, King Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray these words. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Join me now as we sing our next hymn from CH4, number 540. I heard the voice of Jesus say.
Lay down the head.
Friends, the worship service here online is now over, but the worship of everyday life continues. Receive therefore God's blessing and be a blessing to those around you. The blessing of God Almighty, God All Vulnerable, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit will be with you this day and always. Amen. Friends, if you are with us, then thank you for sharing worship with us today. I will try once again just to see whether there is any possibility to see what has happened on Facebook. And if by chance this went down, I will post this as a video. And if not, then it will be live, and hopefully you've been able to see this. On my side, it looks like we are live, but I can't see any comments or anything. So hopefully you've been with us throughout. If that's the case, I want to wish you well for this week. Thank you for being with us. Hopefully we will know in due time what was wrong today and be able to rectify it with a view of next time. If you are returning to a building next week or the week after, we wish you well, every blessing with that. Hope to see you from time to time and to hear from you. And I think that's us for today. My apologies for not being able to communicate with you through comments. And I think that's us. I wish you well and every blessing till next time. Take care. Bye-bye now. Thank you.